is gonna come back as a slug, and he's gonna have nothing because a slug can't be a billionaire. And you, now you're nasty. You're a nasty piece of work.
Anyway, hi everyone, greetings. Welcome back to another episode of The Things You Can't Touch. This is the only podcast where philosophy meets the real world. And today's guest is Wahida. And Wahida is a final year student at the University of Cambridge, studying education with English and the arts. Wahida is also the founder of Her World UK. Check it out. Everything will be in the bio. A phenomenal company and platform for supporting and celebrating Black female creatives. With a deep passion for directing and creating, she is carrying out her own unique space in the arts. Join us as we touch on the things you can't quite put your finger on, but won't stop thinking about. Waiter!
Eden!
Crazy!
Hang out!
Oh my gosh, I had rumors. Yeah.
Oh.
About the type of things that you're interested in the world of philosophy, so I generated a very special question for you.
Oh, and I'm so shy.
Okay, I really hope you enjoy this.
Okay, cool.
I'm really interested to see where you take it. So I'm just gonna launch in. I don't like all of that, you know. So without further ado,
let's do it.
Wahida, three words. Is sorry, it left my mind.
You actually got to do that to me.
Is ignorance bliss? Wow.
Right. The rumors were true.
This is the real question.
Damn.
Yeah. Don't worry, we're going to unpack our places to take
it. My heart is going pitter-patter.
Yeah, now I want to see where you take it first. Right, cool. And then, you know, I'll come in with all the philosophy and things of that nature.
Yeah, cute. Yeah. Okay, cool. Is ignorance bliss?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to say yes or no?
I think you should say whatever you choose.
Okay.
I think this is a free space.
Real. Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Ignorance is bliss. Okay.
I believe
so. Why do you think that?
Because if you choose not to know about something,
yes,
or you just don't know, mm-hmm. or you choose like how much you know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else that you don't know or you've chosen not to know
mm-hmm.
doesn't concern you because you don't know what you don't know. Does that make sense?
Okay.
However, as I'm speaking, I now want to add a caveat.
Okay.
Because you know what mm-hmm. you are choosing to not know.
Exactly. Because if we start looking at the word ignorance,
right?
What's the difference between ignorance and like not knowing?
Literally. Like as in a lack of knowledge completely.
Exactly.
Versus ignorance, as in like you've chosen
to not know. You've chosen to not be
so
educated.
The thought of you choosing to not know will always be there,
mm-hmm.
and then it just depends how much that haunts you at night.
Exactly.
And then that your bliss exactly. is determined by that.
Exactly. I think that's what came to mind when I generated the question.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is I'm jumping
yeah.
a little bit, but what played in my head is just that if you choose not to know something, it's mm-hmm. a bit like not entitled, but it's a bit like you're in a privileged position to yeah. be able to choose not to know something.
Uh-huh.
And usually when it comes to ignorance is bliss, we're thinking about like negative things.
Yeah.
Somebody gave me the example of disclaimer, child pornography.
Mm.
So if you choose not to acknowledge that, you choose to like say, oh yeah, ignorance is bliss, like it's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather just not. People are suffering at the hands of, like, what's it? Where's it leave my brain? Trafficking,
yeah.
for example, and child pornography and, like, non-consensual sexual acts mm-hmm. and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. If you're choosing to not, you know, engage in that, yeah. it has an element of, as I said, privilege,
mm-hmm.
and surely you ought to. Is basically
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Like if you can make the choice, why are you choosing
not to?
To ignore.
Yeah.
However.
Yeah. I love when people argue with me. Please.
Not on the topic of child pornography, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Take what other things are we privileged enough to ignore? The fact that the world is ending. Sorry, mm-hmm. got a bit dark.
Yeah.
But like we literally have the privilege to ignore it because our personal lives have not been crazily affected yet.
Okay.
But compare that to wildlife or sea life. Their lives are being very much affected, right? Yeah. But we are in a position to choose to ignore that daily. Yeah. And we do ignore it daily through our habits, etc.
Like the impacts that the climate change is basically having in certain regions.
But then also it's like, you can kind of see why it's easier to be ignorant. Because what can I do that will then affect? And I'm not saying like monumental change, but like it's not enough for one person to want to make change.
Okay.
So almost like if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing.
Yeah.
We're very selfish as humans. So
wow. If we No, let's pre-unpack that. Are human beings like innately selfish?
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yes. 1,000%. Because even when you think about the people that we do anything and everything for, it's taken a level to get there.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether it's your mom, your sister, like, they have done things for you, subconsciously or consciously, that have, like, built up their case in your head that now validates you doing anything for them. And yeah, you might see it as, like, unconditional love, but, like, there's only a certain extent you can love your mom because she's your mom.
Yeah.
Anything else comes from what she has done for you. Whether it's sacrificing, whether it's never saying no to you, whether it's being there for you.
Yeah.
You being able to do anything for her and not being selfish towards someone like your mom has come from years of her doing things for you.
Yeah.
And whether you haven't been tallying, okay, no one's holding a tally that says, yep, on Tuesday, she did this. However, we're humans. Everything is transactional. So that shows that at our core we're selfish, and that's not necessarily bad, but it just means that no one is intrinsically selfless.
Wow.
To a point where they will constantly put others before themselves.
That was good.
And you don't need to be
selfless.
No. Why? If you're not looking out for you, who's looking out for you?
Yeah. But surely you can be selfless without being selfish.
Yeah. Yes.
Unless you don't think we have the capacity to do both. That's also
unfair. I feel like we have moments and pockets of selflessness.
Yeah.
But like, if there was one that was going to override the other, selfishness wins.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. Because even in an act of being selfless, low-key, there's something selfish, your brain thinking, what's the incentive here?
Yeah, yeah.
How does it come back for me?
And even if it makes you just feel happy,
that's an act of selfishness.
Yeah.
Because you've seeked some type of gain within yourself. Yeah. So even if it's like, oh, I love giving presents to people. An element of that is also, I love people telling me thank you.
Yeah.
Or like, I love people showing me appreciation, which is low-key even narcissism.
In all of itself, but we don't want to go to the extremes.
Yeah.
I think, to link it back then to what you were saying before, you're basically saying that because we're selfish, it justifies ignorance being bliss. Is that what you're saying?
In a way, yeah.
Okay.
Also in a way, I think it's also like a numbers issue.
Mm-hmm.
There was one argument that I learned when I was doing RS. I think it was the quantitative argument. Like,
okay.
It doesn't really link, but it does at the same time. So obviously that argument that like, if something has happened multiple times in different contexts, then it must lead to something being true. So kind of in that way, but not really. So in a sense of like, if you've seen multiple times where one person has stepped out of the norm and tried to be selfless or has tried to not be ignorant and face things, more times than none, they end up punished or singled out or made an example of. So in a similar way, it's like there's no incentive for humans to want to act out on an individual basis or even like on a small group basis. Because everything's about scale as well.
Yeah.
We're talking about climate change and the world ending. A group of five are not going to save the world.
Yeah.
Not to be pessimistic. Yeah. You know
no, I
mean?
I get it.
Yeah. So it's that thing of like seeing that you have little power as an individual figure, but you also have little power in terms of like gaining more help from others around you too.
Yeah. So I think I definitely hear it, but I think the statement that ignorance is bliss is really extreme as opposed to like, because I think what you're describing is more so like just accept where there are situations where the truth is this is out of your control, this is out of your power.
Yeah.
There's only so much that you can do.
Mm.
But ignorance is bliss, I think, is about time I give like context.
Okay, go on.
It was coined by an English poet. His name was Thomas Gray. Don't know.
That. I've heard of him actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, that's good. Any
only heard.
Just heard. That's fine. Because at the end of the day, I didn't find out about him literally like a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
But the full quote is actually, "Where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise."
I've literally heard that quote, actually.
Like, the entire thing?
Yeah.
I never knew that. I only found it out because I was doing some research. Mm. But this basically suggests that knowing nothing means that life is more peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you know that not knowing is more peaceful than knowing, surely you'll be stupid to know. That's that basically what... I can do that.
Thank you.
I can. If you know that knowing...
Yeah.
I'll try that again.
Yeah.
If you know that knowing is more peaceful,
If you know that not knowing is more peaceful than knowing,
so you know, please, you're going to disgrace me. Oh my gosh, you can say it again.
I promise it wasn't that.
It clicks later.
Okay, I was saying it with you. Yeah, we both came to the understanding.
So ultimately, if you know that not knowing is better than knowing, surely you just like shouldn't know.
Yeah.
Go out of your way to know, it's like you're being stupid.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
Really?
In a, like, let's say on paper terms, right? Let's say we wrote it down.
Yeah.
Not knowing equals peace.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing equals trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We all want peace. Mm-hmm. So, on, like, let's say we've written it down as an equation,
mm-hmm.
you should opt for the option to not know. However, mm-hmm. opting for the option, actively making a choice, brings us back to the argument of, like, if you're choosing mm-hmm. to not know, then you do know.
Surely you know.
You're just ignoring. So yeah. I feel like ignorance here, I've always found ignorance like a weird term in itself. Interesting
concept, you're saying.
Because it's just like, are we talking about ignoring where you're aware and choosing not to respond?
Yeah.
Or ignoring as in like having a lack of information?
Yeah.
Because low-key, it like kind of overlaps a bit. Like even when you think of when people describe like racial interactions as ignorant rather than like discriminatory or racist, it's like, well, what makes this person ignorant? Because... they don't have, like, the intellectual capacity to see that their experiences are different from mine.
Yeah.
Or they are ignoring the fact that we are different and then acting in this way. Like, I've always found... I kind of find it a cop-out sometimes when people are like, oh, this was ignorant. Because it's like, what do you even mean by that? Like...
I don't think so. I think it's not as confusing as it seems. Mm-hmm. Not to say that you're confused, but like, it's not as confusing. I think it's more so... there is something that you are aware of, but you're choosing not to do any further research into it.
Right.
So that's what makes you ignorant. So it's like, because if it's not knowing is bliss, I feel like I'll be able to accept that. Because there are some things that I would rather not know. I would genuinely rather not know. But when it comes to ignorance, you've made the active choice to ignore that something is happening.
Okay.
And the level that I'm thinking about this on is like a political level, which is just like, it's ironic. Because I feel like our generation is known for just talking about politics all the time. But anyway, in a sense that, for example, with what's happening in Palestine, you've heard, like, let's be for real, at this point, you know, you've heard. And now you're choosing to be ignorant by not going and doing further research. You are aware that racism exists.
Yeah.
Now you're being ignorant because you're not choosing to go and do further research. For you know what I'm... well, you've heard about the concept of a microaggression. You're not going to do further research to go and see, like, am I being microaggressive? Or things of that nature. So it's like, for me, ignorance is bliss in, like, a selfish way.
Yeah.
And ignorance is bliss in a way that's, like... as I said, yeah, at the beginning, privileged.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's only a certain people that is allowed to be ignorant about some things.
Literally.
You can't be ignorant about race. You can't be ignorant about misogynoir. You can't, because you're literally a black woman. Do you know what I mean?
So it's like,
exactly. I don't want to become one of those people who now I'm saying, like, I'd rather not know about the people, like the children in Congo, because, you know, it makes me sad. Like, I'm...
yeah.
It's...
but do you see what I also mean by, like, now it kind of opens up a slippery slope? And that's why I always agree with the whole thing of, like, to know is folly.
Mm-hmm.
Only in a sense of, like, if we're now seeing it on a research basis, do we then go and research everything that we aren't, like, a target of, if that makes sense? So let's say, for example, the Palestine situation.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You've done your research about that.
Mm-hmm.
But then now, do you do your research about, I don't know, like...
literally everything else.
Melting ice caps.
Yeah.
turtles swallowing plastic bags,
endangered like, animals,
certain like things everything. Where it's like you're not at the target of it,
yeah,
and because of that you should be helping, mm-hmm. which on paper yes, but also mm-hmm. like that just opens up a slippery slope where like now we should be obliged to learn about everything that mm-hmm. doesn't affect us in order to help, yeah. and unfortunately that's just not how the world works. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. If anything, like, we need to kind of focus on what we do want to know mm-hmm. and then try and help that. Yeah. It never gave learn about everything and try and create change in the whole world.
Yeah.
It gave be specialized in something and try and make change in that area. Do you see what I mean? So for me, it's like, I will never really apologize for being ignorant about certain issues.
Yeah.
Only because if I was to then go and research about those,
yeah.
what about all of the rest?
Yeah. And there's only so much that you can, like, target your time.
And even in knowing and doing all of that research, there will always be a lack of knowledge unless mm-hmm. you actually go and immerse yourself in those places as well. Mm-hmm. And for some places, it's not even possible.
Yeah.
So it's just like, if I know I can't do authentic, like, justice to this,
oh my God.
Why would I bother?
I think that just made me think about something mm-hmm. that I wrote, yeah. which is, like, you know, this whole conversation, what I'm trying to say is this, like, I've been using this word more recently, Western privilege. Sorry, that word, because I haven't come across that like whole concept before, because the politics students, they have all of those
buzzwords. I am far from a politics student, yeah, I'll tell you that for free.
Exactly.
Literally dropped someone, it 2 weeks into sixth form. If Miss Kate is watching this,
like, greets.
So, no, I'm not greeting, because she was rude to me.
Oh, she wasn't
like. To me.
Yeah.
She wasn't as to you
because she clocked out dropping the subject.
Okay, so she began to change her attitude towards you.
Yeah, she was like,
"She's like, towards you.
If you're not continuing the lesson, the subject, leave your thing on the desk." And I said, "Left." And I joined. Guess what I picked? Arrest. Look where I am now.
Talking about what? Philosophy. And that's on there.
Clack it. Now if she sees this, I'm actually done. I don't mean that.
I'm sure she won't.
Yeah, literally.
What was I saying? Yes, Western privilege.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry, my brain can sometimes lose itself. It's a Western privilege in that this whole conversation is ignorance, whatever. You know, we have access to a lot of things, especially internet,
yeah.
that a large portion of the world, which you would never really like deep,
yeah.
doesn't have access to. And it's like, as we're sitting here with mics in front of us, oh, it's ignorance bliss.
Mm.
Some people, like, don't have the choice but to be ignorant.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, if you have the opportunity to know, because I just think education is just so important, and it's, again, a privilege, it's a buzzword, like, this word is going to get rinsed in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But that just makes me think, is it even fair for us to sit here and, like, even discuss this?
Mm. And, like, I definitely think you're 100% right, but then also bringing us back, like, then there's just levels of ignorance because, like, there's the base level of ignorance in terms of, like, having barely any knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then, once again, as you said, the resources to increase that knowledge aren't there. So that's, like, double whammy because you're already at the back of the line. And then on top of that, there's nothing that can help you get more forward. Whilst we sit here in a position where, okay, we may be less ignorant, but we're not going to be at that base level.
Because,
once again, Western, what did you say?
Privilege.
Western privilege. Mm-hmm. Like, we have access to so many things that provide knowledge for us, even without us searching for it.
Yeah.
Things even like what's going on in Palestine, that could come up on your For You page.
Yeah.
Someone could post it on their Instagram story. You don't have to actively go out finding this information. So it's like, we're then on the completely other end of the spectrum where even if we were ignorant, all of this media that's being pushed into our face is like almost forcing us to not be ignorant.
Yeah.
However, that that brings in the question of like, where does action come in?
Mm.
In a sense of, you've now been exposed to this information. It doesn't really make you any less ignorant. Only in a sense where you haven't learnt anything.
Yeah.
And I talk from personal experience. I have so many friends on Instagram that will like post Palestine consistently and try and educate people. But I can't sit there and say after like looking at one video, after tapping through a story, that I've learnt anything more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the risk comes in, because people think they're more knowledgeable through passively consuming this media and this data. But it's like, if you haven't actively made the choice to go and educate yourself about these things, as in like watching more than just a video, reading, talking to people about it, because we learn in so many different ways, then you're still going to be just as ignorant.
Yeah.
And then once again, it's like, would I really want someone fighting for this that doesn't really have the like traits to you?
Yeah.
Or doesn't care.
And it's feels actually fine. Obliged.
You can to keep you. It. Like yeah. you don't need to feel obliged to you.
Yeah.
It rings back to so many things. When we was all posting that black square in 2020, like I did that. I was so ashamed.
Right.
I didn't
know that they didn't
like, okay. I'm not gonna lie, I just felt like I had like
yeah.
an image to kind of hold up. Like,
can we unpack that?
Go ahead.
I think that's the negative, because I was gonna say let's let's flip it on
yeah.
the other way.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just gather yeah. my thoughts. There are negatives to people like believing that ignorance is not bliss and like trying to feign educated because now you look dumb. Because you think you're doing something and you're not. Like a black square. And literally. It's like a lot of people were convinced that yeah, this is real activism, like I really did that. Otherwise that amount of people wouldn't have swamped the internet with black squares, if that makes sense.
Even the AI image that people were posting about Palestine, that one I didn't do. Hands up. I learned my mistake.
Wow. I didn't even know that was happening.
Yeah, like it was literally AI image. That was dark. At least in black square, you have to go onto your feed, tap it,
you know,
do hashtags.
Yeah.
AI square, you literally tap on someone else's story that's done it and repost it.
You don't even
there's people that I promise you they can't spell Palestine and they will repost it.
At the end of the day.
No tea, no shade, but maybe tea and shade. Like
tea and shade. It was really tea just and shade.
And for me it's like, damn, and I'm not even sitting here as someone who will come and say, oh chief. Advocate for Palestine, I've been posting, yeah. I've been educating. I'm not going to sit here and say that.
Yeah.
However, I would much rather be consistent in whatever I was doing 24 yeah, exactly. hours ago. Like, exactly. never should I say my ignorance was forced out of me through peer pressure.
Yeah.
Because then it's just not genuine. Yeah.
Because people begin to think that, oh, it's by force that you have to not be ignorant. But your ignorance is ignorant.
Because like, if I asked you now, what acting, more do you know about Palestine? Nothing.
A fear will be silence that will be omitted from the mouths. I fear.
So, like, your best bet is genuinely just, like, never wavering from yeah. whatever stance you've taken before. Yeah. Even if it's a thing of, like, you wasn't posting, but you was educating yourself.
That's what I was going
to
say.
You have nothing to prove there.
There's a line. Because I feel like your ignorance doesn't have to show, if I may.
Expand.
In that, like, you don't have to... Well, your ignorance and your lack of ignorance doesn't have to show. Because I feel like the problem is that people feel like they have to show that yeah. they know things.
Yes.
Even though they don't.
It's that.
And it's like, it's okay for you to be aware of what's happening in the world, but you don't have to pretend. I think it's very pretentious.
I have a bit of a niche take-ish. Mm-hmm. It might be a bit like controversial, but also do you think that like people posting and showing that they're not ignorant is like... an act of trying to emphasize intelligence and intellectuality, like you want to almost like woke, but without using the word in yeah. a sense of like, I know that's a bit of a trigger word, but
yeah.
in a sense where like you want to post all of these things, not in a sense to spread information, but to show that you have the knowledge, because you're not actually educating people, you're just presenting your personal knowledge,
yeah.
and there's a huge difference. Like yeah. if someone was to create a presentation right now, but it's only about what they know and their knowledge, and there's no emphasis on educating the people they're presenting to you, then it was done to show that, yeah, hey, I'm smart, I'm clued in,
yeah.
I know that things are going on in the world.
Yeah.
So in a sense, that is low-key folly in itself as well, because it's like, yeah, you're not ignorant,
yeah.
but you're also... like not clued up enough to share this information.
Yeah.
Ignorant, like lack of ignorance shouldn't be held.
Yeah.
Like you should want more people to be less ignorant. And it feeds into that thing of like exclusivity as well.
I got you, bro.
Thank you. Exclusivity. Like in a sense where if only a few people are doing it, it's praised more than everyone doing it. If everyone wasn't ignorant, do you think it would be such a thing?
It wouldn't. I agree.
The world wouldn't even be that happy, because once again, as humans, like it's like we learned it in econ.
Yeah.
People are happier when they know relatively they're richer than the people around them.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense.
So obviously, it's the same thing with intelligence.
Kind of. Like, and that's why there's a complex. Mm-hmm. I will sit here and say it. Like, I love being intelligent.
Yeah, same.
Because I know not everyone else
same.
Is. That's a key reason. Yeah. Like, don't actually shoot. But if everyone was intelligent, it wouldn't be fun.
It wouldn't be anything really.
Like, there has to be some type of club special. Where you can't get in.
Yeah.
And, like, hey. Yeah. Maybe that was wisely, but, like, it shows with everything.
Yeah.
And it's that feeling of, like, meritocracy and feeling like you worked hard for something. And, yeah, like, you did that. You educated yourself on that.
Mm-hmm.
So fair is, like, we want people to be educated.
Yeah.
But, like, to what extent? And then when do we start limiting
and at
that?
At what cost?
Exactly.
Because I don't know how to express how much I agree with you by not repeating everything that you just said.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna do that, otherwise we're just gonna be here for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But Yes, exactly. When people go on the internet and you're beginning to display, well, not just the internet, people do it in different ways, but obviously now the mainstream way is through the internet. You're beginning to display and expound. I'm making up words now. Like, literally. Your internet, for what?
Without educating anyone. Like, some people be like, these people don't have a clue what they're doing. Please tell us.
Please let us know. Share with the class. What the clue is that we have to know.
But you wouldn't, because there's some type of exclusivity. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that I was going to say, though, in regards to the West, in regards to people who have the privilege of, like, deciding whether they get to be ignorant or not, on the flip side, maybe it's unfair that they get exposed to so much information that they have, that they feel that they have to do something about it.
Yeah.
Do you think that's an issue? Or is that just, like, a trivial thing?
I think it's a trivial thing, as in, like, we can't really stop it.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a day and age where, like, it's going to kind of be shoved in your face whether you would like it to or not.
Yeah.
However, I do agree with that thing of, like, it being unfair. I don't want to say unfair because we're already in a privileged position. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like when people complain about having pretty privilege.
Yeah.
Like, it gives me that same type of vibe. Yeah. Like, oh, like, I'm just so privileged to be exposed and I wish I wasn't, like... Calm down. Your life is literally good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't want to call it unfair, but I do want to call it, I don't know, because it's like, it's almost like being born. Like, it's a bit random, but it's
it's not random. I got you exactly. It's like you're now taking on a responsibility that you didn't really ask for.
Like, I did not
you
ask
still
for
have
it.
To do something.
If someone gave me a preview, that, like,
you would
don't get me wrong. I think I have a great life, but still, like, I still wouldn't
possibly
say
yes. Decline.
Yeah, just because, like, there's too much of a...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's that similar thing of, like, you didn't really ask for these things to be shoved in your face, but you are in a day and age where it's very accessible, whether you go looking for it or not. And now
you, just have to deal with that.
You have people who aren't ignorant and who are doing it in the right way, because at the end of the day, if they're influencing you to want to learn more, they're doing their job. But if that influence is led through making people feel guilty or feeling like they have an obligation, then that's where, like, the difference comes in.
Yeah. You're now tuned into the Things You Can't Touch podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And remember, this is a philosophy podcast. I'm going to move on. This is the perfect timing for me to move on to, like, a bunch of stuff scholars have said in regards, like, around this notion.
Okay, fine.
We shall begin with Epicurus.
So
I feel like we're taking it back. Yeah, he's an ancient Greek. He was he pre-Socratic?
Ooh, I couldn't tell you. I think
it was after Socrates.
You don't have no knowledge of anything from A-levels.
That's right.
I don't remember what I did in second year uni. Work smart and not hard.
At the end of the day.
What's the degree going to say? Cambridge University.
At the end of the day.
Not how much do you remember?
At the end of the day.
Got it.
At the end of the day. Epicurus, he emphasized something called ataraxia.
Ooh.
That means peace of mind.
Nice.
He argues that you should avoid unnecessary mental turmoil and ignorance of painful truths, particularly about, he specifically spoke about death. He's a strange individual.
Very.
And stuff like that is better because it's preserving your tranquility.
He's my type of guy.
Yeah.
I wish I could live like that.
Like that.
Genuinely. Like, I wish I could have that mindset. But I think certain people are wired to be able to be more ignorant than others.
Yeah.
Like, for someone like me, I could sit here and say, yeah, like, I don't think about it, it doesn't bother me. And that's not from me being an overthinker.
Mm-hmm.
That's just from me, like, being someone that has a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
There's a difference. I think overthinkers, like, dwell on the same thought. Yeah. I just have a range.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah. Just therefore,
none of them leave, so they will come back,
yeah.
Especially if I now have an awareness on the thing.
Okay.
So it's like, even if I choose to have this tranquility, the thought of what I've done to obtain the tranquility will always be in my head, which is why I don't think I will ever get the privilege in a personal sense of being ignorant, only in a sense where, like, I can't physically ignore certain things. Obviously that doesn't mean I know about everything and I'm trying to, like, save the world. No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the things that I care about, I can't pretend that I don't care about them, even if it is, like, things like death and the afterlife
yeah.
and bigger issues.
Yeah.
If it's on my mind and it's important to me, I'm going to think about it. But I really wish I could be like that.
Yeah, Epicurus, he really advocates for soft life. Like,
yeah, literally, that's what he's given. Like, yeah. And it's very individualistic.
Which is very interesting because I feel like the West is very individualistic in their thought and it shows a lot in like scholarly writing and things of that nature. But that is a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
Yeah, the concept of peace of mind, again, is very narrow, very individualistic, very, I would like to say selfish.
Yeah.
Because selfish doesn't always have to be bad. Yeah. It's just, is what it is. You're thinking about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I struggle to agree. I think, I hate subjectivity, but I feel like something like this does have to be taken on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
Because if it's like personal stuff, like, in your close proximity, like family issues and stuff, there are certain things I'd rather not know. Like,
real.
I'd rather not know because I don't care.
So real.
And there's nothing I can do, won't change it. But when it comes to bigger things that make the world a better place, I feel like everyone does have some sort of duty or like some sort of owing to other people in the world to try and change that for the people who are suffering, if that makes sense. Epicurus, hit or miss to Epicurus?
Hit. Yeah, like if I could live like that, I would.
There. Yeah.
But
it's not practical.
It's not practical.
Yeah. Nah. A lot of these lot is like in theory, of course, 100%. But practically now the world is too complicated.
These lot were ruling at a time where they thought like knowledge equated to divinity. So like philosophy kings. Like
there were
if they had more knowledge, everyone should bow down to them. So like we're literally dealing with the godfathers of narcissism
and like extreme,
do you know what I mean? So it's so like on brand for people like Epicurus to think like this, because of course you could go into your little box and say peace of mind,
the
world are gonna look at you like yes daddy, you're
and so correct. Like, it's like, also very classist,
so
very very classist, because philosophers by the way for your information were all rich because they all had the time to sit around and think these thoughts. Everybody else was tilling the field. People had to go and make their daily bread. So when you're rich and you have nothing to do and everybody is doing all the hard work for you, absolutely you have time to sit around and think about peace of mind.
Of course you do.
So it's like...
And in his head, he has peace of mind because you're at the top of society.
Exactly.
If you was towing the field like everyone else, you wouldn't have no peace of mind. It's so easy.
It would have been so easy for him to say that. I agree. No, Epicurus. Okay, the next one, well, the next two.
Yeah.
Utilitarianism. You've heard of this. Jeremy Bentham and John Stuart Mill.
Kings.
Let's see if they're kings in this situation. No. Basically, based on their theory, the way that utilitarianism is interpreted, time to educate the people. Utilitarianism is basically the ideology that we have to do the greatest good for the greatest amount of people. Mm-hmm. So... we like the thing that is ethically good is a thing that pleases or makes the most amount of people happy. So with that in mind, with that as the backdrop, that suggests that ignorance is preferable because it leads to peace of mind for the majority.
Okay. I don't know. Because you could also say ignorance doesn't lead to the greater good because
I agree.
It leads to less help for
the majority. The majority.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
It's ironic coming from these two.
Yeah.
Because utilitarianism, the point of it coming into like conceptuation, making a noise, the point of it coming around was basically to address the fact that the majority of people are suffering. Uh-huh. It's only the narrow elite at the top who are making decisions for the majority. Okay. Let us look at the majority who are the poor people.
Yeah.
And let's, you know, make life better. Calm down. Let's make life better for them.
Yeah.
And it's like by arguing that, I feel like, it's too many thoughts in the head, too many thoughts in the brain.
One at a time.
What I'm going to say is that it's interesting that rich people talk about poor people's problems.
Right.
And it's like, but how can they not? If that makes sense. Because if somebody's going to talk about it, surely it's the people who are in a position to
change it.
Who decides who's in the position to?
Right. And also, like, why do you feel like you're in a position to, but you're doing nothing to change that?
Except,
like,
sitting around and
they would hate to make me rich.
They would hate.
Because, don't get me wrong, I'm going to, like, have my people and try and, like, do charity and support and do that. But you will never catch me fake concern over, like...
It's so real.
Let me not control myself. But in the sense of like, if I didn't have a genuine care mm-hmm. for the proletariat that I left behind me.
The proletariat? Yeah! These are the proletariat that I left behind me.
But also, this is also coming from like
mm-hmm.
climbing a social hierarchy.
Social
like, social mobility.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
going from proletariat
uh-huh.
to rich.
Sorry, the word just makes me laugh. It's so proletariat. Sorry. Like, yeah, going from that to rich, yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's probably a sense of like resentment for mm-hmm. that state that I once yeah. was in. Mm-hmm. So that's why I can confidently say that like I would never be fake concerned. Not yeah. to say I wouldn't be concerned, but the people I'm concerned about, yeah. I will help them.
Thank you for really
clarifying. Whilst I feel like, that. Yeah, for yeah. sure. Because before people say, oh, you yeah. get rich and then yeah. not
exactly,
do charity.
Exactly, because that's not what you're saying. Not you're not going to pretend.
Yeah.
To.
However, I'm not going to pretend to, but yeah. I feel like those who have always been rich can have that privilege
is the key word of this episode
to care because yeah. it's like you've never known a life like this
mm-hmm.
so you almost glamorized yeah. it and mm. thought of it as like oh
you're
yeah
real.
Like I wish I could do anything to help, you know, they shouldn't be living like this. Oh, meanwhile it's like you have a hot tub in your back garden yeah. that's yeah. crazy
and it's like oh my gosh that's
your kids literally do fencing
yeah. Like, do you know what it is to do fencing?
What?
Get off here. You're real though. I didn't thought about it like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you can sit there and pretend to like be concerned. But mm-hmm. these times when your taxes come out each month,
mm-hmm.
you're saying you're cussing people that are on benefits.
Oh.
They are.
Oh.
Got it.
Oh.
They are.
But it's true. At the end of the day. And I think that's what like is needed to be addressed when mm-hmm. it comes to things like this, because we listen to the stuff that they come up with and we're just like, yeah, they're so right, like, yeah, the people shouldn't live like this and that, and it's just like from your ivory tower. That's
yeah, really nice literally
to hear. It's really nice to hear,
because they'd rather not, like, because you know when they're like, oh, like, don't throw stones in a glass house or whatever it is,
yeah.
like you wouldn't, like, you was never going to openly come mm-hmm. in and be like, oh, yeah, like, the poor are bad, da-da-da.
Yeah.
So the best stance to take is one that shows allyship, but yeah. it's fake allyship because you've never actually done anything to yeah. practice.
To make it seem like you're doing something.
We need to be more practical as humans, man.
Yeah.
I believe it. Like, I just think, without action, what are we? Words don't really mean much. I'm not going to lie. Like,
yeah.
after you've cooled your heart and now it's helped you emotionally, mm-hmm. you're still proletariat.
At the end of the day.
Claudia.
At the end of the day. On the other hand,
yeah.
Bentham could also possibly argue that ignorance actually shields people from suffering and it results in greater pleasure. So therefore it can be justified.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because Bentham was pleasure and pain argument, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I can agree with Bentham on a, like, theoretical basis.
Yeah.
Only because, like, once again, it brings me back to the equation thing that I said in the beginning. Like, ignorance equals bliss equals peace equals
yeah.
pleasure.
Yeah.
Knowing equals pain.
Which one are you going to pick?
We're choosing pleasure. Even,
yeah.
wasn't it him that had the hierarchy of, like, animals, humans?
I think so, yeah.
Like, the one he where said, it's, like, animals only go for pain and pleasure,
yeah.
but humans are a bit more complex. So we have
I
pain,
think that was
pleasure. Was it? It was one of them.
Yeah, Mill somewhere, and he extended it.
Yeah, extended
further.
It. But
yeah.
either way, at our core, we still seek pain or pleasure, whether mm-hmm. it's animals, whether it's humans.
Mm-hmm.
So I do hear that in mm-hmm. the sense of, like, the majority want pleasure. Everyone
yeah.
wants pleasure.
Yeah.
So you would choose to ignore.
Yeah.
It's difficult, though, because once again, these are so theoretical. It doesn't work in the
and
real world.
And that's the thing, because as you mentioned, if you haven't experienced it, all you can give us is theory
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
I'm not going to say I'm a proletariat, but, like, from my point of view, it doesn't work,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
So Jeremy Bentham and J.S. Mill, hit or miss?
It's so difficult because they're both on, like, it's like a flip side of a coin. I'm going to say miss. Because it's just too theoretical.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't apply it to the real
world. I agree. So far, Epicurus is a hit.
Yeah.
Jeremy Bentham and J.S. Mill is a miss. Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys. Socrates, the master of all knowledge. I really like Socrates.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he your favourite philosopher?
I think he is, you know, recently.
Okay.
I realised that he is, you know why?
Well, yeah.
Because he got mm-hmm. killed for asking questions.
Okay.
And so, that's that really, you know, that really, you know,
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
It really hits home.
I know what you mean.
Because I feel like I see myself in Socrates. He genuinely just asked people questions and interrogated their thoughts.
Mm.
Interrogate your thought. I need to, like, turn that into a t-shirt. Because I feel like I say that in every single episode. Anyway, Socrates famously declared, "The unexamined life is not worth living."
Mm-hmm.
Therefore emphasizing the intrinsic value of knowledge and self-awareness.
Yes.
I'd say that. I need reporter. How does it make you feel?
That's actually one of my favorite quotes.
Really?
Yeah. What are we without introspection?
At the end of the day.
And a bit of self-awareness. Yeah. Like, oh obviously, gosh. Like, you can be self-aware and not do anything about it. But, like, you start from somewhere. Mm-hmm. However, like, once again, that act of knowing and then choosing what to do with it afterwards, you're no longer that base level of ignorant because you know. Like, so now if you're choosing to ignore, not educate yourself more, not examine yourself more, that's fine, but you're still very much, like, ignorant and you've moved up in the ranks. Wow. Yeah, I agree. I think, like, but this is the thing.
Okay.
We could flip it. You know why?
I love a good other side of the argument. Because he said an
unexamined life, right?
Yes.
And if we're talking about introspection, low-key, that could still lead to being ignorant and seeing that as bliss. If I'm doing introspection, I'm only thinking about the issues that concern me.
Yeah.
For example, me even starting Her World as a brand.
How introspective can one's introspection be?
Totally introspective.
Basically, what I'm trying to say, is, like, how far can you really know yourself in order to, like, know your...
How far can you know yourself?
How far can you know yourself?
To know that you need to change things?
Yeah.
Is that what you're kind of trying to be, like, to... Or to then go and change other things externally? How aware
of yourself can you be, I think, is what I'm asking.
Do you know what it is? I feel like it doesn't even take a level of awareness.
Okay.
Like, I think introspection also links to experience. Mm-hmm. In a sense where, like... me going through things as a young black girl, those are experiences. It didn't take me sitting down with myself and being like, oh, like, what could I improve on? What am I doing great? That's made me know that I have these experiences, right? So I think we need to, like, know where the line is between, like, self-improvement and, like, that self-improvement being less ignorant, but also, like, experiences forcing you to be less ignorant. Because, once again, if we've gone through certain things that are key to, like, being a young black girl, we're more obliged to want to make changes out of those. But it doesn't mean that we sit down every month and think, like, as a black girl, how can I improve certain things or make things better for myself? Does that make sense?
Just because we don't do that, does that mean that we shouldn't? And, like, we don't need to.
Of course, no, I think we definitely do need to. However, I feel like it also then becomes a bit, like, harmful.
Drag. Oh. Yeah. I thought you were going to say drag, like, not necessarily don't need to do all that.
Kind of, but also, like, harmful in a sense where, like, someone being racist to me is never going to be my fault. So I don't need to do introspection.
Yeah, fair.
Does that make sense?
You're going to start, like, attributing things to yourself that...
Like, I think introspection is key for, like, being a good human. It shouldn't ever really relate to, like, the demographic that you fall in or, like, the category that you fall in because from there you can just learn from experience.
Yeah.
I think with introspection it's more like, how can I be a good human? If I'm trying to be introspective and trying to figure out how I can be a better friend, I'm not thinking about how can I be a better friend as a black girl. Just thinking, how can I, like, I'm just thinking, how can I be a better friend as a human being? Because my friend could be anyone. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So for me, like, I would always agree with Socrates, but I do think that, like, that part of not wanting to be ignorant is part of, like, the humanistic, like,
That's okay.
The humanist point of view, like, humanistic, the humanist approach kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I get it. I think, on the other hand, I think I forgot that you can be ignorant of yourself. In my head, I was, like, in my head, like, thus far, I've just been conceptualizing as, oh, you're ignorant of other people's problems. You're ignorant of the external world. Ignorance is not bliss when you're the issue.
Real. But it could be, though.
Because for you! But it's not bliss for the majority of people. Oh, my God.
But it's so bliss for you. Because, like, people can live like that. I had a lecture the other day. I didn't even want to go, but I went. And, like, it turned up being... like, it turned into being group therapy.
Oh,
genuinely,
I'm so glad. I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad you went.
I threw away the paper that we had to write on and everything. Like, we got there. We meditated. Deeper. She said, think about your shadows. Everyone has shadows. Cool. So I went to the lecture and it was, like, all about self-reflection and introspection. Except everyone has shadows. And our shadows are the things we are most insecure about and the worst things about ourselves. And we hide them from people, but they always follow us around, which is why they're a shadow. Because, like, you can only see a shadow when, that's, like, deeper. It's so deeper.
When the light shines.
When I look back on it, I didn't even pay attention in the lecture how I should have. But, like, she made us, like, go around the room. You could sit on the floor.
Okay.
You could sit on the table anywhere. You could stand.
Yeah.
And you pick a pen that speaks to you most. So, like, if you pick green, white, if you pick yellow, white, I pick black, not because I'm, like, darken the soul, but it's just like we're writing on brown paper, pick black. Some people are trying to pick yellow and it's like,
it doesn't work,
never gonna land. Okay. Anyways, then she was like, imagine yourself as a tree. And what type of tree would you be? What trees would you be surrounded by? What would the weather condition be like? What type of fruit would you grow? Do you grow fruit? It was very, very interesting. Wow. Yeah. And that, in a sense, is just like...
That was deep,
but do you see why, like, that ignorance is bliss?
Yeah.
Because it's sending me down a slippery slope. Do now I'm thinking about my shadows and trees on a Monday afternoon. Yeah. It's okay.
Monday's crazy.
I'm fine with being how I am. Yeah. So I low-key hear it in terms of, like, I think everyone should try and be a better person. Mm-hmm. But once again... low-key, if you can gain that from experiences, mm-hmm. why would you engage in the act of introspection?
Yeah.
Even the introspection will always take you that further level because it makes you sit with yourself.
Wow.
You shouldn't have to disappoint someone to learn that you was a bad friend in that situation. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Quite it. But yeah.
Moment of silence for that. Wahida, I really like the way you formulated that sentence right there. I really enjoyed her. Really enjoyed her. And I'm really glad Socrates allowed us to get to that point.
I can see why he's your king, actually.
Do you know what I mean?
I might like start liking him a bit more.
I think you need to go and indulge in the bill of Socrates. You have to go and... I've read everything from him. Wait, let me see if there's anything here that's even relevant. Yeah, he argues that ignorance prevents individuals from achieving a meaningful life.
Mm.
Do you think that is...
meaningful, 100%.
Yeah. I guess it's what constitutes a meaningful life.
Yeah.
But,
But then if we get into that, like, we'll actually be here forever. Yeah, let's set a definition.
Yeah.
Meaningful life is, like, actively investing yourself into the things that you care about and reaping the results. Let's say it's that.
Yeah.
You need to do introspection in that.
Yeah.
Whether it's in your friendships, your career,
mm-hmm.
your career, mm-hmm. even the food you like to eat. Like, no one is ignorant about the things they care about, bro.
That's the truth.
Like, let's be so real.
We need to hold... Don't let that go over your head. No one is ignorant about the things they care about at the end of the day, and that is so true.
Some people and it's very like, telling. Oh, like, I don't really care, like, I'd rather not know, but, like, you know about something.
Yeah, and if you're choosing not to know about specific things...
You don't care enough. You don't
care enough.
And that's fine.
It's really bad.
But it's really bad in some of the situations, you know. Where did this accent come from?
I've gone for free accents.
So many. I've even been holding back, I'm not gonna lie.
No, you should feel free. But yeah, I feel like... that's enough for Socrates, as we have some other scholars to get through, and time is literally twinkling.
Mm-hmm.
But Socrates hit or miss?
For sure. I love
that's the only right answer. Yeah. Okay, we've got Immanuel Kant. Immanuel Kant was a racist.
Immanuel Kant. That's his name.
Wait, hold on. Draw it out. What are your thoughts on Immanuel Kant?
I just remember him being like, as I said, a cunt. Like, he's the one about duty, right?
He's the one about duty.
Yeah, like, very traditional, mm-hmm. very stuck in his own ways.
Yeah.
Very classist.
You're not gonna like me.
Cook, please. There's always one.
Loki.
Yeah, go ahead.
I hear it though, because at the end of the day, you have your duty. You have a duty to do your duty onto others. You have to be a good person, and not only that,
but what does Kant classify as a good person?
Cut for real. What does God
want? What does that mean? What does Kant, like, here's the thing about duty and being a good person, doesn't it align with, like, showing respect to all men? It was just, like...
The truth is, I feel like I learned a very colonial, like, version of him.
Okay.
I don't think I've gone to really indulge
in
the concept that he's come up with, which is why I think I've been ignorant. To his actual concepts. I've definitely taken it face value and just believed what I wanted to believe. I think I've applied it to myself.
Okay.
In that you have a duty to do your duty, and the duty in my head is the duty that I believe in.
Right. Okay.
Which I think is a flaw in his theory, because what really defines duty? And he doesn't really define it.
I'm thinking of at his time that he was operating in.
Duty is definitely
like, cook your husband food when he comes home, bro. It never gave me that. Like,
you're right.
Like, that's why he was a cop, because he operated at a time where it was like,
yeah,
his idea of duty are like duties, like, in society. Like give to charity.
One thing, like, that he does say I do like though, universalism.
Okay.
If you do something and everyone in the world can't do it, then you ought not to do it.
Mm.
I think that's real.
I did actually like
that one, low key. Yeah. That just look,
Yeah, very theoretical.
It's crazy that we spoke about Kant in and of itself. We haven't even unpacked what he said about.
He didn't say.
How about we get there?
Yeah, go on.
Kant's concept of enlightenment. I feel like really this involves breaking free from self-imposed ignorance. Okay. I feel like he's onto something. Yeah. Knowledge and the courage to think critically are essential to moral and intellectual progress. He argues, sapere aude, dare to know. I don't know if that's Latin.
Or what. I couldn't agree with Kant on this.
On this one, then, right?
Because I'm very heavy on like wanting to find out more, once again, about the things we're interested in. Mm-hmm. So whether he's saying it in that context or not, like, I think to want to know more is to be courageous, because, like, you're exposing yourself, unfortunately, to the good and bad of whatever that is, right? And then it's down to you with what you choose to do about it. So, like, you could want to know about something, but it's like that saying of, like, don't meet your heroes. Like, you never know what you're going to get from wanting to know about it, right?
Yeah.
So it is, like, seen as an act of courage and, like, taking that leap of faith kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I do hear him in that sense of, like, it is brave to know. And I think he's talking about that because he thinks it comes with a burden of then doing. Like, once you know, you kind of have to
do something about it.
Because to do it, to know more anyway. Yeah, so, like, I can agree with him in that sense. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, it's a hit or miss kind.
He's a hit, I guess. This is the only time they'll hear me say that.
He's a hit. Like, okay, cool. I think we've got, like, two people left.
Cool.
Time is doing clear. Oh, yeah, two people left. We can hold that. Franz Fanon. Have you heard of him?
I've heard of him through my uni pupils.
Yeah.
First year, I think I heard him more than students,
they weren't released Franz Fanon, but let's see what Franz... Not too much. Let's see what Franz Fanon has to say. He argues that ignorance of systemic oppression perpetuates the suffering of colonial peoples. Wow. So the ignorance of things like oppression perpetuates the suffering of those who are oppressed. And that is a banger, I fear. So
I gotta say that in my head again. Ignorance of things like oppression makes it worse.
Makes the oppression worse for them. Because you're ignoring that they're oppressed. 100%.
Yeah.
They said because exactly what I was gonna say. Yeah, he's onto something.
Sure,
so ignorance therefore is but with that being said, like, whilst he's right in and of itself, does that make ignorance bliss though? For who?
For the people that are choosing to ignore, yes.
Yeah.
For those that are oppressed, no.
Wow.
Because it's not bliss for them. It's not peaceful. Your ignorance, once again, is perpetuating
literally oppressed,
their oppression.
Yeah.
But for those who it's like in their control or like in their responsibility to do something, of course it's bliss.
Is that ethical though? What? Whilst it's bliss, is it right? Is it right for you to feel bliss about not knowing, well, knowing a bit about, but not indulging in something being wrong? Like, do you know, like, what some of these oppressions looked like? In fact, do you know what it looks like right now? Oppression is really big.
It's not right, but once again, for the oppressed. And if we're going back to... Who was the first... Epicurus. If we're going back to Epicurus' point, like, at the end of the day, it is good for those who are choosing not to ignore, even to Bentham and utilitarianism, because it brings pleasure.
For the majority.
So if we're talking about an ethical point of view, generally no, to the oppressed no, but to self, yes, because you're avoiding knowing about oppression. Oppression is bad. You're avoiding pain. You're seeking pleasure.
And in and of yourself, do you feel good about that? Is that okay?
Yes, if it brings you pleasure.
Oh, it depends on the person?
Yeah, because do you know why it depends on the person? Because if not knowing brings you peace, or knowing that you don't know enough and are choosing not to do anything about it brings you peace, then at the end of the day, that's good for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that keeps you up at night.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So like,
unless you're one of those people, like kind of how I describe myself as someone who can't really ignore certain things or feels like easily convicted about certain things, then you're chilling, because you can go to bed at night knowing that you don't have enough information and like the weight of the world isn't on your shoulders to change it. We love responsibility until it gets too much. I can see both sides.
I think the other thing that he says, which is really good, is that awareness of stuff, even if it's painful, is necessary. He adds for the liberation of people, but I feel like we don't even need to include that part.
Yeah.
I think even if something is painful, it's needed. Like, ignorance is just bad at the end of the day.
But would you say that awareness of things, even if it's painful, like awareness by itself, is a bit like superfluous, like in a way where it's like...
English, I don't know what that means.
It means unnecessary.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that.
No, I love the fact that you did.
That's that like exclusivity.
That's the exclusivity.
Literally.
Yes. Yeah,
because awareness without action means nothing. So at the end of the day,
you're just doing it for the sake of doing it.
Hide your face. Yeah. It's okay. I don't need you to know. Because I'd rather you not know. It's almost like linking it to like the Bible and religion. You know when it says like, if you know and you don't do, then that's worse than to say like you didn't know. Something like that. Like, it's kind of a similar thing of like, you'd rather just not be aware. I kind of swear
about that, you know.
Because it doesn't bring you any, like, there's no repercussions.
Yeah.
Whilst you knowing and then choosing not to do anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, you go on a day.
No, for real. Because you know. And it's not right. And as I said, Aquinas wrote about that, but time is of the essence and I can't. So, with France Fanon.
Yes.
So that the politics students don't drag you.
I'm just going to say here. Because I don't need them.
We don't even need them.
I don't even need them. Because I can't even argue with them back.
That's the truth.
I'm ignorant about politics.
Same.
Yeah.
Same, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But political philosophy has been carrying my degree recently.
Okay.
I'm going to move democracy. Okay. I did that. Don't want to get into it.
Real.
Oh my gosh, I haven't given my feedback.
Wait.
Sorry, girls.
You see what we said?
Sorry, girls.
About your wedding, you'll be there.
Email. Samantha
Beauvoir.
Have you heard of her? Samantha Beauvoir. She was like a feminist, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a feminist. She was like, she was spearheading all the feminists. She argues, this is our last one, by the way.
Aww.
It's been fun.
So fun.
Anyway, let's not.
I was waiting for my favorite philosopher, but it's fine.
Oh, Descartes.
How do you know that? This is so
Descrates.
Romantic.
Descartes. Do you know what? Can we unpack Descartes after?
We absolutely can.
I feel we need to. Why didn't I include Descartes?
Do you know this? He's not on the nose. That's fine because he's my man. So everything happens for a reason.
I guess she can pick up what I left.
Why are you
doing this one?
You have a, I tied him.
No!
That's how
we
share.
That's why he's my ex.
I'm a bit shy.
That's why he's my ex.
Can I
show him?
Show him.
Guys, they want me to naked myself on YouTube.
Oh, if it's too far, you don't have
I'll show you off camera. It's here.
Simone de Beauvoir.
Yes.
She says, avoiding the discomfort of existential realities leads to a kind of bad faith where individuals deny responsibility. I feel like I like that. Oh, sorry, the English. I'll try that again. I feel like I like that because she actually mentioned responsibility.
Yes.
I feel like that's something that we've been
Yeah. And the whole thing of like existentialism, she just brings it in nicely. Like, she's so general with it that you can't, there's no like pockets you can find to kind of fault what she said. Because existentialism then covers introspection.
Mm-hmm.
It covers like that humanist aspect literally of
existence.
Like
literally.
Do you see what I mean? So I 100%.
That's a good point. No disagree, nothing left to say.
Nah, like, if I'm being honest, because that whole thing about responsibility, once again, like, what do you feel responsible for?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that, like, contributes to your personal thing. Go ahead.
Like, contribute that to the... Ignorance may feel like bliss, but it limits the authenticity of one's existence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be for real. This is what life is. Let's keep it real. Do you see? So it's like, you know all them people that you were describing when ignorance was bliss?
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, but they're happy.
Yes.
You're living a fake life.
Yeah.
And it's like, is a fake, what is better, a fake life or a life of happiness?
Mm. Or a life of like, because what did she say? Good faith.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. Like, like a good life. If we're saying a good life.
Not
like,
good as in personally, but good as in ethically.
Yes. Like, what is and on a general basis. Because like, let's be real, as much as we're subjective, more time humans will agree on the same things.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's ethically bad and what's ethically good. Let's not try like
that's a school of there's so many things
that are like different. Like we all have and an inkling to what is what good is and good bad. Side, so let's be real, like you would know whether someone led a good life or not. Even if you're like let's say a Christian, so you're a believer that a good life means like dedicating it to God. Or you believe a good life on a human level is helping others, we know what falls on that side of that good life. Which is why people will always look down on those who are filthy rich but do nothing with their money. Like even recently when people are like, oh, Elon's like a billionaire now, like there's so many people he could give it to. Because it comes to that point where it's like, now that you're filthy rich, can you ever be a good person?
Literally, especially, oh my gosh.
Like, I don't want to get into too tough.
You can't be asking new questions at the end of the episode.
No, but it's just like...
If you're filthy rich, can you actually be a good person?
Can you be a good person? And it's difficult because obviously, like, with more money comes more responsibility. But, like, I really doubt it, especially when you're Elon Musk. Yeah. Like, I don't know the guy, but... I don't think he's that great of a person. That's what like, it's not like he was a community champion before the billions.
Was it not him that got caught with the islands, or was that somebody else?
I don't know.
On the island.
But like, who?
Epstein, sorry.
Okay.
Completely no, different man. Like,
Epstein, so, Elon.
Rocky.
Rocky. Yeah.
But you're fine, don't worry. You know, you were just ignorant.
It was, I was just ignorant at the end of the day. It's fine. Now you guys have cleared that up.
Literally. Oh, but yeah, like Elon never gave community champions. Yeah. So like him now being filthy rich is just like we was never gonna depend on you. Mm-hmm. However, you can't look back and say that you led a good life. Mm-hmm. However, once again, there's some people that just doesn't really mm-hmm. bother them. Like they're cool.
Yeah.
They're fine with living a good life for them.
Yeah.
Like they don't believe in anything after this. So however you make your life in this moment is what mm-hmm. matters to them.
Yeah.
And like go ahead, twin, but like help you if like there's something after this. Because now you're done.
Literally.
All that money.
Help you for real. Help you. If there's
and I don't even want to like literally. Get into that whole thing. But it's just crazy because yeah. your billions cannot go with you.
Yeah.
But if anything was to exist after this, I'm a Christian, so I believe obviously heaven mm-hmm. and hell exist. But if anything was to exist after this, you know that nothing material was going with you.
Like literally nothing.
So why not just opt
not even
for
the hell on your head?
Why not just opt for values instead?
Yes.
Because if you was gonna keep anything, let's say you was gonna keep your personality,
yeah.
but you came back as a slug. You know that you're a slug with a good heart. But Elon is gonna come back as a slug and he's gonna have nothing because a slug can't be a billionaire. And you, now you're nasty. You're a nasty piece of work. Anyways, before they think I hate Elon.
You're nasty.
Elon, I'm not gonna lie, I just want 1 million, man.
Just one. Just
I'm projecting
one.
Right now.
Just one.
Maybe 10k. Something small to chop. A little Emma. little Emma something. I can't lie, in this state, I will take 5k.
Even at this point.
It's low, but I'll take it.
Small 5k.
Oh, this is great. Wow. I'm having so much fun.
I'm cutting some of this out.
You shouldn't. Okay, we'll do it quickly.
Just a quick one.
Okay, cool.
Just so we can.
It's hard though. I can't be quick with my husband. He doesn't deserve that. Okay, cool. Let's just say his most popular quote then.
I think therefore I am.
Exactly.
It's such a good thing.
Cool. So obviously we know that like he saw himself as like the ability to think.
Yeah.
Proves his existence. Yeah. Right.
I feel like that's deeper though.
For sure.
Imagine you're in an existential crisis. And then, like, you come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it sounds so trivial and so simple, but it's
great. It's more. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, not perceiving yourself.
And essentially, like, it's one sentence that got him there. Like, you think. That's it. Like, mm-hmm. I literally think. Mm-hmm. Now I am. Mm-hmm. Cool. So, with that being said.
Yes.
Speaking of ignorance and bliss, mm-hmm. I feel like him not knowing would have been torture.
For him?
Yeah.
Like for his personal self, yeah. as in him not knowing whether he exists or not.
But no, maybe stop around. You know what people say about philosophers? About how, like, you don't think too much, man. Like, I'd rather not. That's bliss to them.
Yeah, like, a lot of them were going through mania. Even Descartes, yeah. he was literally diagnosed
yeah.
with, like, the word's not coming
hyperbolic,
to me.
Hyperbolic.
Yes, that's it. Hyperbolic thought. Hyperbolic doubt.
Something like that.
Hyperbolic skepticism. And, like, that in a way is, like, this thought that has now proved to your whole existence mm-hmm. is the whole reason why physically and mentally you're yeah, in you're, this state.
Because you weren't okay and then you became
so
okay.
Because you've
yeah.
almost fought too much. Yeah. So it's like with someone like Descartes, I feel like because of his physical and mental position, he mm-hmm. would agree with the state of ignorance is bliss. Mm-hmm. However, him choosing to not be ignorant mm-hmm. is what led him to proving his whole existence.
Wow.
But I feel like it just did it in a way where too little too late.
Yeah.
So it's like by the time you now have that satisfaction and that clarity of knowing you exist, mm-hmm. you're mad anyway. Because wow. you spent your whole life thinking
yeah.
too hard into it.
Yeah.
So it's like for someone like Descartes, ignorance
is bliss.
Ignorance would have been bliss.
It would have been bliss. It's too late now.
Left him
you're too far gone.
But
yeah.
now that you've thought about it, and yeah. now that you're no longer ignorant, you can't even reap the
I'm
results
so
of that.
I'm sad that this is the last thing that we ended on.
Because now you're mad, so and you know you exist, but you're mad.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Wow, this was a journey. Wait, did we do hit or miss Simone de Beauvoir?
Oh yeah, we said hit. We said hit from the beginning.
Hit or miss Descartes.
Hit, man.
Okay.
Even if it was Mrs. Hit.
I agree.
Wait, Lee.
Oh my gosh. Wahida. Yeah.
I might cry.
Wahida. The only reason why I'm wrapping this up is because things need, like, we have other things to do. Like, we need to get going. Wahida, this was a magnificent episode.
I loved it.
so honored to have had you on here, guys. Please, you cry, honey. Guys, please check out her page. She does incredible and magnificent things that is truly inspirational. As a black woman, as a non-black woman, as everything that you do.
As a human.
If you don't, go and check out the link in the description. Period. It's probably not a link, but go and check out the page pasted in the description. Wahida, this was phenomenal. Genuinely, I think I need to continue the rest of cover because drag. Wow.
Drag.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Bye. So this is what it feels like to match with someone at your level. What the hell is the catch? It's the feeling, freedom, and seeing the light. It's Ben Franklin with a key in the cat. You see it, right? The conversation lasted 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. Everything we said in total agreement. It's a dream and it's a bit of a dance. A bit of a posture, it's a bit of a stand. She's a bit of a fuck, but I'ma give him a chance. Ask about his arm, did you see his ass? His hands started fidget and he looked askance. He's penniless, he's flying by the seat of his pants. Handsome boy, does he know it? Peach fuzz and he can't even grow it. I wanna take him far away from this face. Then I turn to see my sister's face and she is.
And I love she is.
Fundamental truths at the exact same time.